Today's gospel is found in the 10th chapter of Mark, verses 35 to 45, page 823 in your pew Bible. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came forward to Jesus and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask you." And he said to them, "What is it you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with?" They replied, "We are able." Then Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink, and the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." When the 10 heard this, they became angry with James and John. So Jesus called them and said to them, "You know that among you, the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." This is the gospel of our Lord. Have a seat, please. To begin our sermon, I asked if my grandkids would help me. So if you guys could come up here now. And I have all five of my grandkids here today. David and Britta and Jack and Ezra and Violet are from Minnesota. And you know Silas and Eden, who live in Mesa, and their parents, Carly and Philip. And actually, I haven't told you all this yet, but I'm going to just make the announcement. Carly is expecting twins. So we are very excited that five will become seven in September. So I have something, and we were together for what, Silas? What was yesterday? What happened yesterday at our house? Silas? You turned five, that's right. He turned five yesterday. So that was a big day. So guys, I have something I want to show you. Okay, just wait there. Let me get it. Oh man, this is heavy. Whoa! Oh no. What just happened? Now, when something like this happens, you have a choice, right? What would be some of the things you could do when something like this happened? What do you think? You could clean it up. That's the right idea. Or what else could you do besides clean it up? Listen to your parents when you clean it up. That's a good one. Or do you think you could just sit there and let someone else do it?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's also an option. Well, today we are talking about being a servant. And a servant is someone who says this question: how can I help? Can you guys say that with me? How can I help? So when you help someone, if you ask someone, can you help them? That is a great way to be a servant. So my question is, you can ask the question to me. How can I help? Well, you could help me by picking up all these toys. Would you help me with that? Okay, let's do it. Put it all back in the box. I know. Let's see if we can pick all this stuff up. And this is, it might take us a long time. I didn't plan on this. There's a lot of stuff here, right? But when you help, that's what it means to be a servant. Anyone else want to help? Thanks, Philip. Right. See, isn't this great? With all of your help, this big mess got cleaned up right away. I should have chosen a smaller box, maybe. All right. So, again, what was the question that you could ask someone? What would be the big question you could ask someone? How can I help? Yeah, exactly. Thank you. One more. Thanks, Silas. Yeah, that's exactly the best question, isn't it? How can I help? I love how Ephesians ended today, that little passage we read from the second chapter. First, about how it is that we're saved. It's by grace that we're saved, not by what we do. But then it ends with, for we are what he made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. So service isn't just a have to, something we have to do. It's something that changes us profoundly and makes it, as Paul talks about, even our way of life that we look to. The question that I shared with the kids, how can I help? He shared that the word that it could also be translated is, in the English Standard Version, it says that we should walk in them. And that's really what the Greek word there says, parapateo, which means, translated, the walk of life. How do we walk in this way of service? Just a few weeks back, we entered the 40-day challenge of the red letters of Jesus. And because in many Bibles, the words of Jesus are put in red. And after all that Jesus has done for us, today's topic is that he has served us and really ultimately given us his life for us. It motivates us to represent him well. And when he asks us to do, it's not, this challenge isn't out of guilt or obligation, it's because we would want to learn from Jesus and follow his ways. We're doing this challenge because really at the heart of it, we love Jesus and want to be the greatest followers of Jesus that we can be. We've categorized his principles into five words, and we've talked about being, forgiving, today serving, and then we're going to be talking about giving next Sunday and going the Sunday after that. So there's a flow to it in this challenge. The being, beginning with, we begin with being in Christ. He doesn't expect us to show our worth by what we do. First, he forgives us and holds us as his own. And it is such a beautiful thing that we can just be in his presence. And that leads us to realizing that we need forgiveness, that we are broken, and we need his power to forgive. And then that, because we're forgiven and we've been with him, then we're motivated to go out and serve others, and put his words into practice. Serving, then, is what we're talking about today. And Jesus said in the gospel that even the Son of Man came to serve, not to be served. He served us to the uttermost, but in his love is the motivation to serve. I think inside all of us, we have an idea that we like the idea of serving, but when it comes down to it, sometimes we go, oh, don't really want to. I remember Chris and I signed up just last fall for the Make a Difference Day. Kind of forgot about that we had done that. And then that Friday night, I remembered as we're thinking about what should we do on Saturday? And I said, oh yeah, we signed up for the Serving Make a Difference Day holiday. And kind of in my spirit, I went, oh, I'm tired. I don't really want to get up early and go do that. But we set our alarm. We got up. Anyone else ever had that experience where you did something and then you went, why'd I want to do that? But we got there. Yeah, back row, yeah. We all have. But we went and we served. And you know what? It was actually really fun because we got to serve with other people and it was a real enjoyable morning to help someone else. Chris and I were both youth ministers before we were married in different churches. And one of the first things she did with her church is her pastor encouraged her, you should take kids to the National Youth Gathering. And she did one time. And she said, I am not going to manage kids running around hotels, trying to sneak out of their rooms. This is ridiculous. I'm not going to do that anymore. And so then what we looked to and what I did in my church was a service trip. And then every other year, we managed to do that as youth ministers. We would either do one, we'd do a service trip. We went to Georgia. We've been to West Virginia. And then when we got in the church in Holly, we would do one service trip out in the country somewhere else and one live it local at home. And what was amazing about that is when you mention that idea to high school kids, what do you think their reaction is? You might think they go, oh, do we have to go on a trip like this? Can't we just go to a water park or something else like Disneyland? But no, actually, they really got into it. And we would take an entire bus full, 42 kids, every summer. And the Live It Local was even more people because the kids that didn't want to not sleep at home could still participate in that way. And they would go, and they would give, and they would serve, and they would go, what I did mattered. It made a difference. And that was this feeling that was so contagious, really. Today's gospel is such a telling, I guess, story for all of us. Because inside of us, I think we have that kind of feeling that James and John express. Where they come to Jesus, you know, of course, Jesus had said previously, do for us, if you pray for something, God will give it to you. So they're thinking, if you ask, it will be given to you. And so they go to Jesus and they go, Jesus, would you do something for us? What do you want me to do? He says, well, make us important. Put one at our right hand and one at your left hand in glory. Now, I love the Chosen. If you've seen that episode in The Chosen when James and John ask this question, the look of disappointment and sadness and sorrow that comes on the character who plays Jesus' face is absolutely perfect. You can imagine how disappointed Jesus was in them for even asking the question because he'd been showing them by example what he was about and that putting yourself in an important place was not what he's about. And then he teaches them because the other disciples are kind of perturbed at James and John for asking such an arrogant question. And it says they were angry with them. So Jesus says, we need to have a meeting, calls them all together and says this, you know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as the rulers, lord it over them. And the ones who rule are tyrants. That's the way of the world. The way of the world is to be a tyrant, to take your position of leadership as a privilege, like I've arrived, instead of as an act of service. But he says, but if you want to be great in the kingdom that he's making, to first put yourself as the slave of all. For the Son of Man, that's talking about himself, came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. He's lifting up the role of servant, which is, in our society, is often overlooked or not seen at all. We have people that serve here at church. You don't even know that they've done something because they do it quietly. Even like setting up communion today, that was done by someone beforehand in our church to serve us. I think that Jesus would say that we're actually made to serve. It's in our DNA. Kind of like a fish will swim in the water or a bird flies in the air. We are the same way. We are geared and wired to be of service. Now that beginning with this idea of service even goes way back to the book of Genesis. The very first man that God called, really, I mean, Noah was called and Adam and Eve were called, but Abraham is the father of all. That's what they call him. And when he was called, he was given this threefold blessing that he would be given a descendants, and he had none at the time. He would be given descendants as many as the stars, that he'd be given a land, a place to live, and that his line would bless the whole world. In other words, he was to be blessed to be a blessing. We are blessed, all of us, so that we can bless others with what God has given in our lives. That blessing ultimately came in the form of Jesus Christ, who was the heir of Abraham. If you look at the book of Matthew at the beginning, there's a genealogy, and it goes from Jesus all the way back to Abraham. So Abraham was the father, you know, back many, many generations, some 20 plus, I can't remember how many, that he is the savior of the world, and that was the blessing, truly, that God gave through Abraham's lineage. So if I could translate the concept of what Abraham was given in a different way, it would be something like this. Abraham, with all you've been given, you will bless the world. Abraham, like us, had talents, abilities, gifts, time to give, faithfulness. He had a lot of that. And that is what Christ's mission is for us. He showed us that himself ultimately by paying the price, the ransom, as it says, for all, that he died in our place. And this section of Mark really precludes probably the way that Jesus maybe manifest or showed his disciples in the greatest way that he was a servant, and that's in John 13 when he washes his disciples' feet. Because the disciples were waiting for someone to serve them because that was the custom. You wouldn't want to be the servant who washed feet. That's the lowest of the low. That's what you give to the person who can't do anything else. But Jesus then, as you know, says in the beginning of John 13, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end.